Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Jordana.
And I'm Sammy, and I am here to say Jordana's line that there is a lot to talk about in pop culture today.
Except what we're not talking about is Scandoval, because we are recording this earlier in the day Wednesday rather than when we usually do on Thursday. So people who are mad at us for talking about Bravo for half the episode, you're welcome.
Today's your day.
Today's your day.
Today's your day. We will only piss you off by deeming me the Taylor Swift expert of this
and
podcast.
You didn't even get a PhD.
Here's the thing. I didn't deem myself the Taylor Swift expert. I just, of the three of us, know a little more about
her.
We
deemed you.
Right, yes. I know. I'm not. Here's the thing. I definitely like know a lot about Taylor Swift now, but I didn't become a fan until 1989. So I...
The album, not the year.
Right, the album.
But, the womb.
So it's not the same when you didn't like live the moments when they happened. So, you know, I have my blind spots, but look, I didn't claim to be a Taylor Swift expert. They claimed that I am a Taylor Swift expert. But either way, I do love her music. I have, you know, and we'll so talk why about her relationship now.
So why are you bringing up Taylor Swift today, Samantha?
She's our first story.
Okay, what's the story?
TMZ reported that she and Matty Healy of the 1975 have broken up and that they are no longer together.
But I thought she was so happy.
I thought she was in love.
Didn't she say she was so happy at the concert?
She said it was the happiest she's ever been in many areas of her life.
Maybe because she broke up with the other
Joe Alwyn. Honestly, I think this was... There's no right answer because none of us can ever know. But I think this was all sort of part of like a rebound game a little bit. It also came literally days after there was a report that they had moved in together, even though they were both on tour or going on tour. So it doesn't really, make sense. There was a source in People that said she had fun with him, but it was always casual. They are no longer romantically involved.
And there was a photograph why am I speaking like this? Photograph. There was a pic.
Little Tabasco.
Little Tabasco. There was a pic of him kissing a male security guard during his concert in Denmark. Like he's like reaching over the stage and like kissing a guy, security guard, during his
That's
concert.
His thing. But he that kisses was like people during his concert
before she announced
what?
It.
That he kisses like people during
inappropriate.
His concert. I
know. Like
that's
if you're dating
why,
someone.
That's one of the many reasons.
Even
that,
if you're not, I don't think you should just be like randomly kissing your staff.
I think he. It's not just the staff. He kisses fans. He kisses fans too. He kisses. That's part
that's
of the controversy.
Our policy.
It's explicitly in our handbook.
No kissing the staff or the fans. No, he does. That's kind of like one of the reasons people are like, "Ew, he's gross. Why is she?" Apparently, he stopped kissing staff.
Sounds like a good way to get a cold
or COVID. Yeah. Sounds like he stopped kissing staff and fans while they were technically on, but he, I guess, now is back on that.
Like
back on
French
that
kissing.
Train. I don't know. I'm sure they're all different levels of smooches. Like, I don't know. Like, they're all just... But okay.
Wait, there's another thing that happened. So she performed in Chicago this weekend, and she got a bit choked up during one of her surprise songs, specifically during a line that was, "Wondering if I dodged a bullet or just lost the love of my life." We don't know who she's referring to, but...
Could be both. Could be either.
Sometimes I think... She's just doing this to us just like for fun.
For the press?
For the press, for the fun. I know that she's obviously on this like rebound tour because like she never was photographed before. And now she's like she's doing her like squad girl thing.
Well, that could also be that Joe Alwyn really wanted them to be very private and was not into press. That was sort of something that seems to be established, that that was his...
Well, it seems like that was really good for their relationship because they did date for a long time.
Well, it was good for their relationship, but also when their relationship started, she was like, quote, canceled. Like, that was her reputation mm-hmm. era. So it probably was really helpful for her to be with someone who wanted to be private and didn't want the press interfering when she had literally just experienced kind of the worst backlash of that she had had yet.
But what was the backlash? I don't remember.
It was when the Kanye thing came out and Kim released that recording where she had supposedly told Kanye he could use one of the lines from, like, I just told Taylor Swift, I think me and Taylor might still have sex.
Uh-huh.
Remember?
And what did
he came out with that?
And what did Tay do?
She had criticized him for using that line. And then Kim released this recording of
her
Taylor
saying it's
and Kanye
okay.
on the phone right. telling him it's okay. But then she denied that they had disclosed everything. And she had been like, I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative. Remember
right,
that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And he did that music video with her like in the bed, right?
That was about that video.
Yeah. Right.
So. You know, so that was sort of like that longstanding thing. I think she wanted to probably be private in the beginning of that relationship. And then I read that like during the pandemic, they were kind of in their own little world. And then after some of their personal incompatibilities started to show through. But the other thing with Maddie Healy that I just want to say is that there was a tip sent into Dumois. And Dumois basically wrote on it that she had heard the same. That was kind of like, they didn't break up because they were never that intensely together. This has been casual the whole time and it's continuing to kind of still be casual. So the idea of them having broken up is like not really applicable to this anymore. Like
a mutual fade?
Not even a fade, just like, oh, we're not going to be as public about it.
Well, if that was the case, why wouldn't she like do that right when the rumors of like all this messed up stuff that he was doing. Like if it was never that serious, why even allow that to be like the storyline?
Well, because I think that it took a bit for the like backlash against him to really grow. And I think maybe also Speak Now is coming out in a month. So she needs to be, it's like, okay, if she's going to now make this whole, album and people are going to be talking about John Mayer and how he was a dick to her. It doesn't really hit the same if she's dating this guy who's also kind of known to be a dick. So I wonder if maybe she just wants to be able to have the relationship without having to deal with constant feedback about it.
I'm just saying, it's like, if it was never that serious as the Dumois thing claims, I don't even understand why she would have let it go public in the first place. It just seems like a weird PR move.
She was seen photographed with him, like walking from car to establishment.
Right. But I think never that serious doesn't mean that they don't really like each other. Like what serious I think implies like, oh, they're moving forward in a future together. That doesn't mean that it's not a serious hookup. Like the hookup is real. I don't think it's about, it hasn't even been that long that they could probably be establishing like, you know, a longer term serious relationship. I just think maybe, and this is what Dumois seemed to agree with, that she was, it's a little bit just easier for them to continue their fling if there's not constant feedback about it from the media, especially since they're now both going on tour separately. So they're probably not going to be physically as together as much.
Well, I kind of feel like she should just date Pete Davidson, even though he has his own little scandals.
Oh, my God. But, I don't know why. I can't wait to talk about Pete Davidson.
Yeah. I mean, don't you feel like she's due for a Pete Davidson fling?
He's with somebody.
I feel like that really gets you back like into the game. Oh, he's dating someone, says Holly. All right. Well, that won't last.
I don't know. I think, but Aileen, to your point, I think that she does just kind of like to make conversation. And honestly, that's why I like her. I realized, I was like, what do I like so much about this? I love listening to the lyrics and finding these like Easter eggs and connecting it to what she's doing in public. And kind of like, I feel like I'm solving this mystery in real time, sort of like Scandoval, but for Taylor for her whole life. And I just find it really, I find it like fun to follow the way you're doing like a puzzle.
I feel the opposite. I have like Taylor dating life fatigue. I'm like, ready to like not talk about Taylor, who Taylor's
but she honestly
dating.
Like only is this, she's been quiet for so long while she's been dating Joe. So
that's why I'm newly into it.
And now it's just kind of, maybe we're oversaturated by Matt Healy stuff because he's not that, because people were against
he's not
it.
That famous.
And I think you're also like burnt out from just Taylor content because her tour is happening right now. And it's like literally everything that you see.
And everyone's going and everyone's posting going about it.
And they can't stop going and they can't stop posting about it. No offense, Samantha. You've already gone and posted.
Only once.
I know, exactly. No offense.
So far.
No offense, Holly.
And
listening.
She's about to release like another album. I'm like, all right, take a break.
It's all part of it.
She gets in these like overexposed cycles. I did have a prediction that I think she's going to, I think she's trying to like, she got really big in the pandemic and with Midnights. And I feel like she's almost trying to like do another media cycle like the Kardashians, where it's like anger, love, you know, there's where these like sways of emotion towards her and kind of allows her to reinvent herself. And I really hope that she does a rock, like an angry rock album. That's like,
you know. Demi Lovato right now is doing. She's literally doing
or like Miley.
Her song. Yeah. Or Miley goes rock.
Yeah, I want Taylor to go rock like Miley went rock. Holly says, give us a 1989 rock album. Yes, exactly. Exactly, Holly.
I want her to not keep redoing her old albums. I think it's like a little excessive. It's the same song. It's the same songs.
Honestly, the best part of that.
It's the same songs.
Okay, but she also adds like, she also adds a lot of songs. So
it's mostly Haley, the same.
Oh, Holly says, I'm glaring at Jordana right now.
I mean, it's just kind of crazy to me that like she keeps releasing the same album that already exists and then everyone gets so excited. It's like it's the same exact.
She updates the production and I actually think the songs sound better.
I think they sound pretty much the same.
Well,
because they're the same songs.
Do you guys sound like you're in Bridesmaids?
Well, that's why Jordana's not a music critic.
Everyone, you're always growing and changing.
I mean, look, is it a capitalist money grab? Sure.
It's funny because it's like a capitalist money grab to rebel against a capitalist money grab. Which is,
yeah,
you
well,
know,
you got to fight capitalist money grabs with capitalist money grabs.
It's
you know?
Revenge.
She should just call them spite albums.
Speak Now, parentheses, spite album.
Yes. I would be more likely to listen.
It's so that she can own it from like Scoot, right?
Yes, that is the real reason.
Right, but somehow she's made this like everyone's problem.
Is it everyone's problem if people are like buying them? Like people fucking...
No, I mean...
She does like these ridiculous releases of... Oh, people are going to hate me that I said she does these ridiculous releases. Also because I was personally considering buying a turntable so I could listen to a fucking Taylor album on vinyl earlier last week. But I do think they do sound different. She does own them rather than someone else owning them. So like she's getting royalties
that's
on
about
her songs.
Her. Like why do we care? That's about
fans.
Her.
Well, the fans care. They're doing it to support her.
I'm excited about her hearing new songs. Like, I think like, that's exciting.
I just think it's kind of like the Emperor's New Clothes. It's like I have a new album and it's the same album that I already released. It's like something out of Zoolander.
I would say that if she didn't add several tracks to each one that like actually are really good and new.
Right. So she gets to write three songs and put out a whole album.
No, they're like 7 to 10 songs that are new on each album, which for some people is literally, which for some musicians is a whole album.
Okay. I mean, that's just my personal feeling.
I like All Too Well.
Hayley Williams is going to be on Speak Now re-recording, and so will Fall Out Boy, according to Holly. But also, I knew that.
I like Fall Out
Boy. Oh, well, I guess we would.
I guess you'll have to listen.
Guess you'll have to listen to her old song.
It is her old song. I'm sorry. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time. And also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me. So I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself. And that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But FrameBridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love FrameBridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Okay, so Pete Davidson is in the news, not for his love life, but instead for a scandal. It's not really a scandal. It's more so like his fight with PETA, like Pete versus PETA. And what happened was photos were leaked of him and his girlfriend Chase buying a dog at a dog store. And PETA like leaked those photos, I guess. And people are mad that he's not adopting. So Pete Davidson, his voicemails leaves. It's just so funny. He leaves a voicemail, very explicit voicemail, which I will read. I'll read the transcript.
Can you also read what the title is for the person that he left it to? That's very funny.
Yes. So he left this. He called Daphna Nakminovich, the senior VP of cruelty investigations. At PETA, and he explains his reasoning for why he bought this dog. Hi, my name is Pete Davidson.
Can you read it angrier?
Okay. Hi, my name is Pete Davidson. This message is for Daphna. Thank you so much for making comments publicly that I didn't adopt a dog. I just want to let you know that I'm severely allergic to dogs, so I have to get a specific breed. I'm only not allergic to Cavapoos and those types of dogs. And my mom's fucking dog, who's 2 years old, died a week prior. And we're also sad, so I had to get a specific dog. So why don't you do your research before you fucking create news stories for people because you're a boring, tired fuck. Fuck you and suck my dick. Okay. It's just like if you listen to it, like, because you hear it in his voice. But so he leaves his voicemail and it's obviously leaked. And PETA says a long thing. They're not like swayed by this thing because they explain why it's more important to adopt. She says, since shelters in New York and across the country are overflowing with homeless animals, PETA urges Pete to show some big heart energy by adopting, like, is that a big dick energy? By adopting, not shopping in the future. They also said that there is no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog. And that the specific breed he did buy can be adopted. Apparently, they said if Davidson had actually done his research, he would have learned that there is no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog. But then they say, where hearts go out to Pete and the rest of the Davidson family, blah, 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 blah. So then Davidson admitted that he was unaware that he could adopt a specific hypoallergenic dog and was told it wasn't an option. And if it was, it was rare. And he was just really sad about the family dog dying. He said he hasn't seen his mom and sister cry like that over 20 years. Like, the fact that all of this is in the news is what I find most entertaining. But
me too.
He was trying to cheer up his family, and he was already upset that the store had filmed him without permission or acknowledgement. And then he said, then this organization, PETA, made it a public example of us, making our grieving situation worse. I'm upset. It was a poor choice of words. I shouldn't have said what I said, but I'm not sorry for standing up for myself and my family. So, like, quite a fight.
It's funny because I don't think I would have known about this if he didn't leave PETA the voicemail. Like, if I wouldn't have known that PETA was mad about his dog adoption if he didn't fight back about his dog adoption.
Honestly, PETA should be on The Real Housewives because I feel like this is like a very shady move on their part all around. Like the picture taking of him, leaking the voicemail.
Well, PETA didn't take the picture. Somebody at the dog store took the picture.
They condemned him.
I think
they condemned him and then they leaked the voicemail, clearly.
They already did this plot line on Beverly Hills. Lucy, Apple Juicy.
I mean, yeah, it was so boring though.
Yeah, it was very boring. Well,
I just feel like, I kind of feel like the PETA anger is like misdirected. Like, don't blame the people who are buying the dogs from the dog stores. Like, blame the larger institution that's allowed this to happen. It's like shaming someone for not recycling. The individual is not really the cause of the issue. The issue is that it's even like available.
Right. They're shutting down dog stores. They like are. They're
But like I'm saying, like
it's not PETA that's doing that.
He's not necessarily supposed to be like an expert in all this.
Look, I will be very courageous and admit that my dogs are not adopted. So I have no cred here to criticize PETA on any of this. Or to criticize
Pete.
Yeah. Well, what was the thing with Heather Dubrow? She once was like, she's like, yeah, like we wanted a certain kind of dog. So like we bought the dog from like a breeder. But like we're donating a ton of money to the animal shelter. So like that when I'm talking about this on TV, people don't. Come for me.
It's right. I mean, it's just like, okay, I'm not morally perfect or ethically perfect.
But, at least you didn't send this voicemail where he knew it would obviously get leaked, but he like had to end with fuck you and suck my dick. Like to me, that is like, so that to me was the funniest part because it wasn't like he was just like this guy who was mad and he was just mad and he explained himself in a way that was like emotional. And then he just was so mad that he called literally the senior vice president of cruelty investigations and told her to suck his dick. Like that is the most immature way of fighting. And obviously rude, but like...
Do you think if he hadn't said, fuck you and suck my dick, that maybe the rest of... Or and maybe the boring, tired fuck part. Do you think maybe if he had just done the explanation and been like, good day, sir.
Yeah.
And then hung up, that maybe it would have been fine?
I think it would have been a little bit, less nuts. But I just... What I like about it is obviously not what he said, but that it seemed like real. You know what I mean? It wasn't it wasn't crafted by a PR team, obviously.
No.
So like that to me was that I found that rarely happens in the media these days.
It's like they're not reporting on like Pete Davidson at an appearance. Mm-hmm. Pete Davidson actually in his personal life picked up the phone and had this conversation and then it made news rather than like this long lead story about what was Pete Davidson going to do? Who's he dating? It's like it was a spontaneous act.
Uh-huh.
The spontaneity of it, I think.
The spontaneity and the fact that it wasn't like crafted by PR teams, which is everything that you see. Like we are always speculating that something is done via PR teams for somebody's benefit. This seems so purely not that to me it seems like a gem of a moment that we must all cherish.
I also think it's interesting how like PETA is probably the most, they're gonna come for us, they're one of the most I would say like aggressive personally to people who do the things that they don't like. But imagine, to your point, Jordana, if there was like a recycling equivalent that they would come and like throw paint on you when you're putting out your recycling in the, you know, maybe they check your cans on the end of your driveway to make sure, or like, just imagine if you had someone patrolling your garbage room and checking your garbage.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that like public shaming isn't really the answer. So I'm kind of team Pete on this one.
I'm team neither. I'm team non-crafted PR statements, which is fun for me to enjoy.
Me too.
Also, like, what happens to the dog if no one adopts it? In the dog store.
They kill them.
Exactly. So it's like, I mean, again, don't blame the person who's saving the dog, in my mind.
Yeah. But the problem is you're paying for it. You're not like adopting. And like you are saving the life of the dog, but they claim that like you're promoting the business of these puppy mills that like.
But that's what I'm saying. You, go to the source.
Like, for sure. I know. No matter what, the dogs will be dying. There's homeless dogs. There's dogs everywhere that do end up dying. And the adoption agencies are the ones that do really like purely save the dogs. But there's no like perfect scenario. But I agree that like the public shame of the person is rough.
Yeah, go after the puppy mills. That's my thought.
I think that is like a big activist movement, is to go for the puppy mills. Right. And the dog stores and illegalizing them. But like Lisa Vanderpump made her whole thing about dogs and like dog cruelty and dog fighting, right? In China, where?
Yeah, stop Yulin forever.
Yeah, stop Yulin forever.
I mean, dog fighting is...
That's a different story.
Stop Yulin forever lives in my brain like all the time.
Stop Yulin forever.
I randomly will think about stop Yulin forever.
Same.
But... So, okay. I think it ends here, though, that argument.
Fuck you and suck my dick. That's where we can end.
Yes. Suck my dick.
And on that note.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Let's talk about Natalie Portman.
Yes. Okay.
Natalie.
Poor Natalie has not been in the news in quite a bit.
Well, no, she was in the news in the sense that, like, during Cannes, she was looking fucking stunning. She was dressed by Dior as she, you know, she is a representative of Dior for so long. But I have
no
to
drama
say.
In the news. No,
she's
drama
beautiful. News. I cannot overstate that. Her dress, some people were dressed good, you know, Helen Mirren had the blue hair, questionable, but Natalie. that dress. But anyway, so new news.
Well, Aileen, about, she's single.
I know.
maybe.
She's single.
It sounds like, yeah, it sounds like you might be interested.
I might have my chance.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know if she's single. I might have spoke too soon. So
her husband is trying to get her back.
She, 41, and her ballet dancer husband, Benjamin, how do we say it, Aileen? You've been trying. That are battling to save their marriage after she discovered that he had an affair with a 25-year-old woman. They had met while filming Black Swan back in 2009, amazing movie. And Page Six said that the couple who got married in 2012 separated last year but managed to work through their relationship problems. And just days ago, the couple was spotted kissing. So here's what happened.
Which couple?
Natalie and Ben.
Right.
Spotted kissing.
Ben.
But then there's photographs from France suggesting that Ben, former New York City ballet principal dancer, has been spending time with a glamorous young climate activist, Camille Etienne, 25 years old.
Right. The pictures that people are seeing is like she's coming and leaving from his office building. But
where's his office? What do you do in an office after you were a ballet principal dancer? That's what I want to know.
Ballet principal dancer, it makes me think of center stage. Obviously. Yes. And you know, I think I said this on the show when I did bump into him, but I once did pass by the good guy on Center Stage. What was his name?
With the dark hair.
Yeah, Center Stage.
Yeah.
Cast.
It's your dream, Mom. It means more to you than it ever did to me.
His real name is Sasha, but Charlie and Cooper. So when I hear principal dancer, I think of Cooper.
Same. I've always wanted to be in an American ballet company.
But anyway,
sources say she's going to stay with him.
Well, no. That's not what it says.
He's trying to get her back.
Yes, but I've seen different articles that said that sources say that she's going to stay with him
for now. You know,
her biggest focus right now is protecting the kids, and he's doing everything he can to get Natalie to forgive him. He loves her and their family. Well, don't fuck the 25-year-old climate activist, Benjamin.
Should have said no. Should have gone home. Should have not. Never mind.
Can you forgive cheating? What would you do if you were in L.A.?
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
They were separated last year, so maybe like it's sort of like a finer line where they fully back together. Like, maybe we don't have all the deets.
Maybe they were on a break, you think?
Potentially. I mean, when you're separated, I think you're allowed to date other people, right?
Yeah. I don't know their rules, you know. I don't know. It's hard to say, like, without really knowing the specifics of the situation, if I would forgive him. And also, like, how good is their relationship? Like, how much good are you giving up for this person who cheated on you? I think that actually matters to some extent. You know, was it like a one-time? Like, do you think that it is really reparable in the long term?
Right.
And I think it kind of depends on that.
Yeah.
And also on the kids and, like, the specifics of the cheating, I think. And the emotions that went with the cheating. So I think there's a lot of...
It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, agreed.
A lot to unpack.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, extra dark brews, sours, hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, can we talk about the book that we're reading for Betch's new book club, Betchlet Society, if you have not heard about it? I think we teased it once, did we not? Maybe that was for Back for Seconds.
It might have been Back for Seconds that I was talking about reading it on.
Sammy, do you want to, first of all, quickly say what Betchlet Society is, and then we can quickly preview the book? Because
we don't want to spoil it for you, but we'll tell you what it, we'll tell you the premise, because it's honestly, I think if you're a listener of this podcast and you like pop culture topics, then you would really enjoy this book.
Well, so what happens when you read the, like, what's the deal with Betchlet Society?
Well, for now, you know, we're going to obviously see where it takes us, see how much you guys want out of this. But right now we are, you know, if you go to the Betchlet Society Instagram and you go to the link in bio, you can sign up to get a biweekly newsletter where we're going to be giving you our favorite book recommendations, telling you why we like it. We're saying, I believe in staying away from ratings for this, because I think that can really like turn people on or off to a book, like really unnecessarily. But so the first book we picked is called The Daydreams, and it's kind of like almost like ripped from the headlines of, if you talked about like the tabloid stories of like child stars and High School Musical and Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, and like, let's say you have a hypothetical group of those stars and they were doing like a reunion show in present day, and it kind of like flashes back and forth between like what really happened and them kind of trying to make sense of it in their lives now, and then what happens with this big televised reunion show. So
it kind of like reminds me of Glee, because they're a music group.
Oh, it's so funny. You thought Glee. I thought High School Musical, because they're like in high school and they're a band.
Right.
But I think it kind of worked. You know, I think it's kind
of Glee is in high school and but they're in a choir.
They were, isn't it just high school students that dance or like sing? I only watched it for like a few seasons.
Glee,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're the Glee Club in high school.
Right, they're the Glee Club. Duh, Glee, hello.
Yeah, Glee Club in high school. But they're all very good, and they'll redo, because what in Daydreamers, they like redo songs, like popular songs, but then they also have their own songs.
Yeah.
And there was like all this drama within the group, obviously, and there's like one heartthrob and like, it just, it reminded me of that.
So, I mean, this isn't spoiling it to just kind of set up who the characters are, but there's, you know, there are four people in this band, and it obviously centers on like the heartthrob hot guy who he ends up having like a really successful Hollywood career. And then the girl he was dating kind of ends up like spiraling. She becomes a mess. Her reputation sort of ruined, like a la Lindsay Lohan status, right, or so many other child stars. The narrator herself is someone who was like, she and this other girl were like supporting characters, sort of. She becomes a lawyer and she wants no one to know she did the show, no one to remember that she was a child actor. And she gets sucked back into doing this reunion. And then the fourth one is this girl who's like a WAG influencer type. And, you know, her life is sort of lived online.
Does it move faster in the second half? Only because I got the first half I read pretty quickly. But does it like, you know, does it have that momentum like some of these books to have?
Honestly, I find it hard to, I read it like a few weeks ago. So I don't really remember the pace, but I read it. Like, this was one where I just read straight through. I was like, I have to find out.
You have to find out what happens. Right.
I think it was pretty exciting the whole time. I don't know what part you're up to, but there were good, there was good stuff. Good stuff in it.
Good stuff. Yeah, I liked it so far.
Did you ever see the movie, I think it's called Nope, Jordan Peele?
Yeah.
Okay, is that the one where they do the reunion? They like show that there was like a show and then the animal like screwed up the...
Yeah, yeah.
So it also sort of reminded me of that a little bit.
I forgot about that. Right, the chimpanzee like kills everyone. But yeah. That's not what happens.
No, that doesn't happen in the book. But it did remind me of that, like... You know, a child star had tragic things.
It's not like a murder book.
The Daydreams?
Yeah.
It could. There could be a murder, but I don't.
I'm not up to it. Oh my God.
No, I'm not saying there could be a murder. I'm saying like it moves like a murder book.
Right, but it's not a murder book.
Maybe.
Oh my God.
It moves like
I must finish.
Move like a snake.
So once you finish reading, is there a discussion? Like where am I talking?
So there's a Geneva chat. If you have the Geneva app, you sign up and you can join the Bechlit Society group. Lots of people have introduced themselves. They're all talking about what they're reading. I'm debating whether, because I just finished the next book. I'm debating whether we should be doing some like early access spoilers in there. You know, for people who are in the Geneva chat, like maybe you want to get ahead of.
Oh,
maybe.
Well, either way, once we figure out, we're trying to make it so that everybody, like, you know, it's created not just by us, but the people reading, how best we can make it for everyone to enjoy a book club.
We're taking your recommendations. We're also looking for things that you haven't seen everywhere. Like, you all know what the new Colleen Hoover book is. Like, I don't need to recommend that to you. You know,
right.
We're looking for, you know, up and coming authors and just interesting new talents. So
gotta say, Verity was just okay.
I loved Verity.
I thought Verity was sorry. I thought Verity was kind of just okay. Also, like it was. I
read it.
What
very
was gonna, I knew
quickly.
What was like. You knew what was going to happen.
Right. I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think it was very overhyped, and I think that's why everyone was like, I remember I asked on my Instagram, like, what book to read, and everyone was like, Verity, 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 and then I read it, and I'm like, really? This is, like, fine.
I think that's kind of the problem, is that everyone sort of, that certain books get, like, the name for, you know, they just become, like, that book that everybody's reading, and so you assume, like, oh, if everyone's reading it, it must be so good, but that doesn't mean everybody thought it was, like...
Amazing, right, right.
A lot of that is just like what pops
and
versus
like when you read it. A lot has to do with like when you read it too. It's like what mood you're in. What did you read last? What did you watch last? What kind of thing, like, how will you respond to this type of genre in that moment? And like everybody likes different things. Like I don't love murder, but I love financial crime.
Me too.
So
we're definitely living in the like financial crime, celebrity, public figure, important people behaving badly space here. This is, you know, I agree. Murder, a little predictable, you know, oh, it's usually the husband to say. So I like Verity a lot, but I agree that when a book is everywhere, you're like, oh, I must like this. I kind of felt that way about Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. But maybe it's just I couldn't really get into it.
The other thing that I once recommended to everybody on this podcast before I finished it was The Last Thing He Told Me, which is now a show on Apple. I know. I recommended it before I found out the twist at the end. And then when I found out the twist at the end, I was like so fucking mad that I recommended it to everybody.
You recommended it to me so hard. And I was reading it when I was on vacation.
It was good.
And then the more I was reading it, I was like, does Aileen have bad taste?
I know. That's why I was so mad that I recommended it to everybody. I was like, this is a very big letdown of a twist, and it's annoying. And the fact that they even made it.
The characters were annoying, I thought, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I couldn't even get through the fucking first episode of the show. I was like, okay, Jennifer Garner, what's his name? Jamie Lannister is in this. Like, I gotta watch, but it was so annoying. I couldn't get through it. You know what else was so annoying I couldn't get through?
What?
Bupkis. Speaking of Pete Davidson.
Oh, I didn't try.
I haven't
tried to watch the first episode of Bupkis, and people might hate me for this because a lot of people are liking it. I couldn't get through it.
Aileen, I had a... Okay, so I finished, it took me a while, but I finished Daisy Jones and the Six, and I wanted to discuss one plot point with you. Spoilers, but if you haven't watched it by now, I don't think you're going to. If you haven't watched Daisy Jones and the Six, I don't think you're going to by now. At the end of the show, that the guy's wife dies, right?
Yeah.
And then the daughter's like, basically like trying to hook him back up with Daisy, and she's like, and the mother's like last dying wish is that they... get back together? Was that a fucking joke? I watched that with Mike. I was like, if this was me and you had been like making out with this woman while we're married and we have a kid, my last wish isn't for you to like go see her. Like, are you fucking kidding?
Maybe like she, I think the whole thing is that the wife was like the glue of everything. And that when she passed away, she was like, for you to keep going, I'm doing this selfless thing. That's like, you have, this is your soulmate. Maybe beyond me, and so
while he's
you
like making
be
out with
her.
This woman behind her back,
right? It's total, but they've moved on from there. Like many years have passed. Like that's what you're supposed to assume.
That would not be my wish.
I know that wouldn't be your wish.
Would that be your wish?
I have to. It's a very very specific situation, but I did say that you would like it. Did you like it? Besides the end,
I did like it. I thought the end was bullshit.
Okay, but besides
but
the
up,
end.
Yes, but up until then, I did like it. I liked when he chose the wife and he chose not to.
Yes,
he was. It was funny because he's like, "Oh, we could be like all fucked up together," and she's like, "Oh, I didn't realize like I don't really want to be like a fuck up and like be all fucked up together."
Right, Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy. So I thought that was like a great moment for her, and then I just thought they ruined it with that last scene of like, oh, it's because the last scene is sort of like, oh, they've been meant to be together the whole time, and now that this bitch is dead, they can finally be together.
Right, this bitch is dead.
That's what it felt like. Did it not?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I thought it was like quite a cop out,
right? Because I just don't think it's realistic. I don't think that like someone that a wife would be like, when I die, I want like you and my your old mistress to be together finally now.
I think a better ending would be like, okay, they're all at the funeral. Maybe they reunite and they kind of look back and say, like, we made the right decision. Like, that could have been.
That's more realistic.
You know, it's more realistic to say, like, we don't give in to these, like, lustful, bad habits. And instead, we think more about our children and just, like, long-term life.
Yeah.
And you know, that's maybe what's best. Right. Than to give in.
I said to Mike, I was like, if this was you, I would be like haunting the shit out of you if you did that.
And murder you again. Well, no, he's not dead. But I'm glad you liked it. But yeah, Bupkis, I couldn't even get through. But
anyway.
I just don't find Pete Davidson that funny. Except for his voice.
It's also Bupkis is sort of the same exact, like the reason I didn't watch it, because it's the same plot line as the movie he already made of like King of Staten Island. You see the King of Staten Island?
I did, but I have no memory of what it was about.
It's like he only has one storyline. I think it's like a little unoriginal. Let's revamp. Well,
I think he was almost trying to be like, do you ever watch the show Dave on Hulu?
Yeah, that's a good show.
He's so funny. Like he's funny on his own. And he's not even a comedian. He's like a rapper. And
Lil Dicky?
Yeah, Lil Dicky. Yeah. And I find he reminds me of like Larry David almost. Like a Larry David rapper. And
he's like more self-deprecating, I think, than Larry
yeah,
David.
Potentially.
But
he's like a young Larry David. But see, I almost felt like Pete was trying to like follow the same formula.
I mean, he had a great cast.
Yeah.
Edie Falco.
I know. And Joe Pesci. The episode starts off where he's doing reality VR porn and he like jizzes all over his mom. Like, I'm like, meh, not that funny. That's the first scene.
Not for me. Not for us.
Yeah, not for us. Sorry to use the word jizz, guys. Who's being sent to the Caymans?
I think Natalie Portman's husband.
Yes, Benjamin Mepier.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, we do actually have somebody. We're not going to shout out our reviewer, but I've been meaning to shout out somebody who DM'd me some information literally weeks ago during the coronation, and I promised her a shout out. Her handle and name is at Sonia Villar, and she filled me in on why the fucking British armed guard people wear the hats strapped to their chin, you know, strapped under their mouth and not on their chin.
Yeah.
And to thank her,
she said that she wanted to be hypothetically sent on a 5-star vacation. So I want to finally send her on that because I've forgotten every week to bring it up. So okay. Sonia, thank you for helping me out. I promised I would get you and now I got you. And let's go on a 5-star vacation. 5-star vacation to Buckingham Palace.
I like that because it's not like she like was like, oh, I can't believe fucking Sammy didn't know. And then like wrote like a 1-star review. She like DM'd you and explained it to you.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, oh, wow, I learned something. Thank you so much. And then, and now she's being hypothetically sent first class
to the Buckingham Palace.
I think there should be like, hey, look how far you can rise in this country. Yeah, American dreams.
Just be hypothetically sent to the Cayman Islands by your favorite podcast.
No, she's going to Buckingham.
She's going to Buckingham, not the Caymans.
I think there should be a class in school about internet etiquette. And one of the subjects will be like how to slide into someone's DMs respectfully.
I think that should be a class, but I think first instead they should of health, do like
or maybe an
personal
addition
finance.
That's important too.
Yeah, maybe they should
personal
be like
finance.
Maybe like
taxes,
personal finance, maybe like emotional regulation.
How could insurance works.
Yeah. Maybe like how all these like random things work, like insurance, permits, you know.
But here's the thing. If they taught you about that stuff, then you'd forget it all by the time you were going to need it.
I would. Or you'd remember because your brain was so malleable at that point.
I don't think
that
I would.
It got stuck in at the right time. No, you know why they don't teach it? Because then they can't scam you when you're an adult who doesn't know what's going on.
How credit cards
work. They count on
work.
You not knowing. That's what the business model is. Is like, if we all knew how to do our taxes, which the government actually knows how much we all owe in taxes, and yet there's still TurboTax and all these things, and yet who would be making money on us doing our taxes if they taught us how to do it?
Yeah, I guess, but they're not making money on us.
I'm just saying in general, like, there's incentives against helping us run our lives effectively.
But say there weren't. I would have loved a class on insurance or like taxes, obviously.
And sliding into the DMs.
And internet etiquette when it comes to commenting on podcasts.
Specifically that.
That didn't really exist then.
An updated Emily Post situation. Anyway, that's it for today's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
Follow me at Sammy.
And I'm at Aileen. Please leave us a review, 5 stars, if you love this show, if you love hearing us just shoot the shit, and if you want me to leave a voicemail to Daphna. and we'll see you next week on the At Betches podcast. At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Picot, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.